Why does God allow bad things to happen? What's he up to? What's he doing with your life? Why won't he answer that request you keep praying for? Why is he letting you suffer? Why are there so many difficult people in your life? Why are you still struggling with that same stubborn sin? Why are you still stuck in that same boring job? What, if anything, is God doing with your life? The people of God were asking those kinds of questions during the days of Jeremiah. As we thought last week, the great disaster of which Jeremiah had been constantly warning them, it's finally happened. They've been taken off to Babylon. And they're living as exiles about 1,000 miles away from home. They were asking questions like, where is God? Why is he allowing this to happen? Why are bad things happening to God's people? In answer to those kinds of questions, Jeremiah 29 was written. Jeremiah 29 is a letter to these exiles. It contains within it a letter that Jeremiah sent, the prophet of God, to the people who were off in exile, reminding them God knows what he's doing, even when it doesn't seem that way. Reminding them God's plans, they're the best plans. And you could summarize the letter in one wonderful promise in verse 11. Look at verse 11 again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is one of the most loved verses in the Bible. Like many of you, I'm sure I've heard this verse quoted a lot. I've seen it on signs and posters, plaques. Many Christians commit these words to memory. We share these words with people who are sick or discouraged or some kind of difficult situation. For many people, this is the only verse from Jeremiah that they actually know, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And I was looking this week, one website that offers an analysis of online Bible searches. So it's looking back in 2014, and this website is telling you what's the most searched for verse, the most highlighted verse, the most underlined verse. And it tells us that this verse was the UK's most popular verse in 2014. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And in many ways, rightfully so, because it is a wonderful verse. And believers have claimed this verse for hundreds of years. It's a lifeline, especially when going through hard times. However, at the same time, it has been widely abused, and it's been misunderstood as well. And so I must say this morning, these words, they're not for unbelievers. They're not for unbelievers. If you're not a Christian this morning, these words are not for you. They form part of a letter that was sent to the people of God. You can't just pluck this verse out of context. You have to think about where it's placed. And as we thought about its context last week, this verse, surely it shines all the brighter when you think about its context. These are words written to God's people in the land of Babylon. And so, to those who are in Christ this morning, those who have repented of their sin and believed on him, these are precious words, and they are for you, and they are for me. Because as we thought last week, like the people of God in Jeremiah's day, we too are in exile. This is not our ultimate home here on earth. This is not our resting place. In many ways, we're passing through this life. We are exiles in a foreign land. And so this is a promise for us. This is a promise for you today. And as I said last week, I want to just look at this verse today, 29 verse 11. I'm very glad to be returning to it. I want to say three things specifically from this verse. Firstly, God has plans for you. That's the first thing. God has plans for you. That's worth noting, first of all, that God does have plans for his people, that he has thoughts towards them. This verse doesn't say, "For I know the plans I have had for you." That would be good enough in many respects, wouldn't it? If all we knew was that God had at one time plans for us. It would be good enough if we were reminded here that there was a time in the past when God thought about us. But the point here is that he still thinks of his people. He has plans here and now. His plans, they are present and they are current. And they are up to date. The point is that his eyes and his hands and his mind, they are continually towards his people. His thoughts, though they are high above our thoughts, they continue to exercise themselves about us. God has plans for you. That's the message Jeremiah was sending to these trembling exiles as they were in Babylon. Things had gone horribly wrong in their opinion. They could hardly have been worse. Here they were, held captive in a foreign pagan land. Yes, God might have had plans for them, but surely there are no more, they must have been thinking. Surely our Lord has abandoned us. Surely he's forgotten about us. God has just said to them in verse 10, it would be 70 years before they return home. A long time to be in exile. But he follows that up. He says, "You think I've forgotten about you? Not at all. You are forever in my thoughts. You are still my people. I have not forgotten you. I still have plans for you." Isn't that incredible, friends? God has plans for you. That could be the most important statement you could ever hear. God has plans for you. The God of the universe thinks about you. He considers you. And he knows you, and he remembers you, and he keeps you in his mind. He knows who you are, and he knows where we are. Not for one second are we lost or are we forgotten. It's comforting, isn't it, when we receive word from a Christian brother or sister in a moment of need. It's very comforting when we get a letter or a text message or an email giving help and comfort. And often it's not precisely what the person says, but it's just the fact that they've said something. It's the fact that they've thought about you. That's what's comforting, isn't it? It helps us to know that people are thinking about us. And here we're told that God is thinking about us, that God has plans for us. You might feel that he doesn't think about you. I would tell you this morning, child of God, he does. His thoughts are always drifting your way. Even though he's got the whole universe to rule, never at any moment are his thoughts not towards you. Here we're told he had thoughts and plans of his children even as they walked the strange streets of Babylon. Even as they were surrounded by the foreign language there, he was still thinking about them. All that he was doing to them was according to his plan. Child of God, if you're here this morning and you're in trouble or you're in sorrow, you must not doubt that it has been sent to you according to the gracious plan of God. He thinks so much of his people, even the very hairs on their heads are numbered. And it's not just the big things, it's the little things too. Every affliction that comes is timed and measured according to his plan. And every comfort he sends with a loving thoughtfulness. Never has anything happened to you as a result of bad luck or chance. God has plans for you. I could stop there. If I said nothing more this morning, I think we could all go on our way rejoicing. The God of the Bible, the great God of love, the great God of the covenant, the majestic, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God, he's got plans for little old you. He's a purpose for you, and he's working that purpose out in the course of his world. Consider the thoughtfulness the Almighty God of heaven has for you. God has plans for you. Let us say, secondly, God knows his plans for you. What does the verse say? I know the plans I have for you. God knows the plans. Here we are, the second Lord's Day, 2015. Perhaps you've made various plans for this year. Perhaps you've had to get yourself a diary. Perhaps it's filling up fast. Maybe some of us are starting to think about holiday plans. Maybe some of us are involved with arranging things to do with work. Maybe 2015 is an important year in your work situation. Here in church, we're making various plans for the year. To a certain extent, we know the plans that we have for ourselves. To a certain extent, you know the plans that you have for yourself. You know some of the things that you've set out before you. You know some of the purposes that you have. You know what to expect, so to speak, on your horizon, something that you've prepared for and hoped for. You know some of these. But you don't know all the plans he has for you. You don't know all of God's plans for you. And sometimes the things that influence us the most, they're not the plans that we have made, but that they're plans that God has made. The plans that God makes for us, they sometimes have a way, don't they, of cutting across the plans that we have made. Haven't you discovered that time and time and time again? God's plans overriding your plans. Maybe something you dreamt for and hoped for, something that you purposed for and planned for. You plotted out the course of your future as best you could. It all seemed so fine, so predictable, so secure. And then all of a sudden, one thing happened. That's all it took. One experience, one phone call, one knock at the door, one word from one person, and all of a sudden, your plans are thrown into chaos. They've collapsed in a heap. Because God's sovereign plans, they override all of our little plans. God's sovereign purpose cuts across the path that we make for ourselves. The plans we have, they collapse. They collapse before his plans. And it's in moments of darkness and doubt and forgetfulness, moments of loneliness, we're tempted to ask, what on earth is God doing here? Has he forgotten me altogether? Not at all, friends. It's just that his plans override our plans. And so today, we don't know the plans that he has for us. We don't know his plans. But do you know something? We don't need to know. We don't need to know the plans that God has for us. All you need to know is that God knows those plans. God knows those plans. That's the ultimate resting place of faith. Not that you know what he's planning for you, but that you know he knows. He knows what he's planning. Listen to how Charles Spurgeon puts it. The child playing on the deck, he's speaking about a great ocean liner, the child playing on the deck does not understand the tremendous engine whose beat is the throbbing heart of the stately Atlantic liner. But yet all is safe, for the engineer, the captain, and the pilot are all in their places. They know what's being done. Let not the child worry itself about things too great for it. Isn't that wonderful? We know so little. We understand so little. We have so many questions. But this much is clear. God knows. God knows his plans. We don't know what the plans are. All we need to know is that he knows. That's the second thing. Firstly, God has plans. Secondly, God knows his plans. Then thirdly, this morning, God's plans are for your good. God's plans are for your good. Because it's one thing to know that God has plans for us and that he knows every detail of those plans. But if those plans are to harm us, if his plans are to punish us, well then, this wouldn't be an encouraging verse at all. Really, it's not enough to know that God's thinking about us. We need to know what he's thinking about us. And in the remainder of this verse, it's made very clear. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. This answers our greatest question. Is God for us or against us? Here we have God's answer. All his thoughts and his plans, they move towards one expected end. Nothing happens by chance or without a purpose. All his plans are for our good. All his plans are for our good. That's not to say they're for our pleasure. That's not to say that they're for our satisfaction or our earthly happiness. Many people wrongly assume that from this verse. They think Jeremiah 29:11 is like a divine rabbit's foot that protects us from pain or keeps us from suffering. Not at all. Remember, this was a verse given to God's people who were in the midst of suffering. They were in the midst of pain whenever they received this. This verse would have reminded them that God sent them there. God was thinking about them there. God hadn't forgotten about them there. God was with them there. And God would give them a future. And God would bring them home from there. It's God's way of saying, I still love you, even though you've blown it. I still have plans for you. And they're not for evil. My intention, it isn't to harm you, or to leave you, or abandon you. I might be addressing some child of God this morning in very deep trouble. Perhaps everything seems to have gone wrong in your home or in your life or in your business, perhaps in the church too. Let me say, God's thoughts for you, his plans for you, they're not for harm. They're not for disaster. They're not for calamity. They're not for evil. Satan would have you think that they are. And he would come to you and tempt you to doubt God's plans. Next time he comes, you tell him. You just tell him that God's plans for you, they're not for evil. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that there's not one single item of evil in God's plans for his people? Whatever he does, it's all for the best. I think some Christians harbor a secret suspicion. They would never say it, but a secret suspicion that God's out to get them. I think maybe that's why God makes a point here of saying that his plans, they're not harmful. They're not for evil. His plans are only for our good. Even if he sends suffering our way, it's still for our good. Plans for welfare. That means plans for our peace, plans for our shalom. These are plans to give us a future and a hope. We know now, of course, how these plans worked out for the people of God in Babylon. Though they couldn't see it yet, God would raise up another king who would deliver them. And after 70 years, they did return home. Plans to give exiles in a foreign land a future and a hope. Seen in this light, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it is a verse of immense comfort, especially when going through hard times. If this verse is true, which it is, our position ought to be one of ever-increasing hope in the Lord. And I admit that's hard to do when you see your child suffering, or when your marriage falls apart, or when your career dissolves, or when you can't pay your bills. We live in a fallen world, and we ourselves, we're fallen people. We're not yet what we could be, or should be, or one day will be. And this isn't a magic verse that removes your troubles and wipes away your tears. There's no Bible verse that can take away the pain of this world. But all the same, Jeremiah 29:11 leads us out of the darkness into the light. There's always something to be hoped for in the Christian life. There's always something to be hoped for in the Christian life. And as exiles living in a foreign land, we're not yet home. We're not yet home, but we will be soon. Is that not the future and hope we all need? Is that your future and your hope this morning, friend? Is this verse true for you? Can you say that the God in heaven has plans for you to give you a future and a hope? Can you say, as it's said in the two following verses, that you've called upon him and prayed to him, that you've sought him and found him with all your heart? Because these words, they're not for everybody. None of us knows what a day will bring. None of us knows if we'll make it even through this week. But God is faithful to every one of his promises. And for the child of God, nothing can happen to us except it pass through the filter of God's loving hands. And on a threshold of an unknown week, that's all you need. On a threshold of an unknown year, that's all you need. To know that by trusting in him, your faith will not be disappointed. To be able to say, I don't know the plans that he has for me, but my faith, it looks to him in the knowledge that whatever happens, it will be for my best. It will be for my best. And he knows, even though I don't know. He sees what's ahead of me, even though it's all darkness to me. He's a purpose for my life, even though it's just going around in circles at the minute. Nothing happens to me by chance. And so, friends, we bow down. We bow down before him and we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.